And now the game where we take people who are masters of their domain and introduce them to another one entirely. We call it Not My Job. Imagine the most passionate sports fan getting to go in the field and talk to the players, or a complete Star Wars dork getting to interview Boba Fett. Chuck Todd is that kind of fanatic who got into the candy shop. He parlayed his obsessive interest in politics into one of the premier gigs in journalism. He is the White House correspondent for NBC News. Chuck Todd, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. I am oddly excited about this.
Oddly excited. Well, that makes sense. So part of your appeal, and I alluded to this when I introduced you, is that you seem passionately interested in politics. This is not seemingly just a job for you. Is this true?
It is. No, I mean, I love politics. I mean, I love campaigns, and I actually love the public service aspect of it. I mean, as a teenager, I was plotting a way to, you know, run for state rep someday, figuring out how to go door to door. I just love the competition, and then also the battle on ideas front too.
Well, there are ways to get help for this.
Yeah.
I have a question. What do you mean figuring out how to go door to door?
Well, all right.
I mean,
you learn, you figure out how to campaign for the thing, and
how to go door to door? I'd say after you leave one door, go to another.
But do you cross the street or do you go right next door? How are you going to tackle the street?
I actually wanted to ask you about this because you've made this transition. You became prominent on NBC News in your coverage of the lengthy presidential campaign. I think that began in 1985, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And now, of course, you're the White House correspondent, so you're actually covering not campaigning, but governance.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't actually governing a lot less interesting than campaigning?
Well, no, thankfully, as you say, presidential campaigns never end. There's that aspect. I mean, I would just point to President Obama right now. He's made something like 9 out-of-city trips outside of Washington. Curiously enough, every single state he's gone to was a state that was red in 04, and he turned it blue in 08. You know, of course, he's just trying to roll out policy proposals. That's why he's going to Ohio, or that's why he's going to North Carolina, or that's why he's going to Colorado, but needless to say, I think the first thing you got to know is that the campaign never ends. But the second is that they're always campaigning. Okay, so it happens to be a campaign for an idea, whether it's a stimulus package or bank bailout or something like that. So there's always that. For me, the transition hadn't been that hard.
Talk about the culture of the White House briefing. You know, for them now being done by Robert Gibbs, Dana Perino, Tony Snow. Before that, did any of you ever expect that guy or woman in the front to actually ever say anything, or is it just kabuki?
It is theatrics. I hate to say it. I mean, and in fact, I've joked about it with Robert. I've joked about it with others, where it does feel as if that sometimes it's like, okay, you got certain questions you have to ask in public. You got to force him to deny it. You know, you got to force him to do his crazy evasive answer. His job is not to make news. His job is to move message. But yes, it is theatrical. There's no doubt about it.
Do you feel any competition between like you and Jake Tapper or the guy from CBS?
Well, the poor guy from CBS, he's got a name.
I don't remember it.
It's Chip Reed. He used to work at NBC.
Oh, I see.
Got him some slack. I mean, a guy named Chip, a guy named Joe. He's also a Charles. That's why I'm a big Chip Reed fan. I'm a Charles.
It's like Chuck, Chip, and Jake.
Yeah,
it's
real
like,
love.
It's like the Hardy Boys go to the White House. Very boyish and old-fashioned.
And such diversity, too.
I know, it's
right?
Great.
You know, it's a real tribute to the 21st century press corps.
Yeah.
Not at all. If there is competition, you know, we pretend we don't have it.
Yeah, good for you. Tell me, if you will, about my favorite member of the White House press corps, Goyle.
Oh. Well, Goyle is amazing. First day you get there, he's this. He apparently works for an Indian news agency, and I feel like he is the press room mascot. He's always there. He takes photos of everybody. He always brings greetings from a billion people in India. He keeps track. It's sort of kind of like the McDonald's sign. Remember when McDonald's used to keep track of how many people they served? So I think he is keeping track of the population.
He's been there forever because I read, you know, White House press briefing transcripts. And for years, you know, whatever press secretary was up there battling with the press, he'd say, Goyle. And Goyle would say, yes, I was wondering if the president had any comment on the price of ghee or something. How did this guy get to be a White House correspondent?
Well, it's apparently a pretty sweet gig. Apparently, you don't have to actually do anything. I mean, he doesn't produce anything. There's no TV camera. I don't think he has a website. He's just there.
Nice.
And he wears this every day. He wears a nice suit, and he wears this wonderful pin, like American Indian Relations. I mean, he brings food for the Obama press staff about every third day. It's always some sort of, and it's an Indian treat of some sort, usually some sort of sweet item, but. It's kind of nice and kind of creepy at the same time.
The Washington Post, Marianne Akers, did an investigation. They could not find a single bylined article by him ever.
I'll tell you, he stays on top of the news. He was on top of the news two or three times this week. It's like trying to get Mr. Gibbs, Mr. Gibbs. I mean, he's also got one of the louder voices. So you always hear him when you're in the briefing.
People say that the media, particularly certain networks, often starting with an N, are in the tank for Obama. And I just want to ask you this. Is it up to the waist or all the way up to the eyeballs?
You know, here's what the first thing I say to accusations of bias are this. I check my pulse and I look. I am a human being. Okay, we are all born with original bias,
yes.
Just like the Bible says.
Yes.
We're born with original bias, number one, if we're human. Two, are people that are accusing us of bias watching with a subjective eye or an objective eye?
That said, he is really charming, though, isn't he?
And he's so cute.
Isn't he, though?
And Michelle Obama's arms are so buff.
Wow. Well, Chuck Todd, we are so delighted to have you with us. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Well, it's never too late to go back to cod fishing.
Iceland, that hardy island nation... experienced a massive financial bubble during which it was one of the richest nations in the world. And then just last year, the bubble, she burst. Michael Lewis wrote about post-crash Iceland for the current Vanity Fair. We're going to ask you three questions based on his article. Get two right. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners.
Okay.
Carl, who is Chuck Todd playing for?
Peter, Chuck is playing for Julianne O'Day of East Lansing, Michigan.
Ready to go?
Okay.
All right. First question. One of the reasons finance became big is that Iceland doesn't have a lot of industry, just cod fishing for the most part. One of the reasons it's so hard for industry to get started in Iceland is which of these? A, the national tradition of the eftermiddagen, or three-hour afternoon nap. B, anyone who wants to build a new factory must first hire consultants to make sure that no elves are living on the site. Or C, all business meetings by law must be conducted in either Icelandic or Esperanto.
I'm going to take C, I think.
You're going to go for Icelandic or
Esperanto? I'm going to go for the language issue.
Language issue.
Or the nap. I should go with the naps, shouldn't I?
I'll
go with C.
You're going to go with C.
I'll go with C with the language.
Icelandic
language
Esperanto.
Issue.
Actually, it was the elves, believe it or not.
Oh.
The Icelanders believe in what they call invisible spirits, the hidden people. And if you want to build a factory in Iceland, you have to hire somebody at your expense to go up there and make sure there are no elves or other fairy creatures living there who you will disturb. All right, next question. You still have two more chances here. Iceland became the center for world banking, even though there was very little expertise in the field on the island. For example, A, before opening their first investment bank, Icelandic financiers flew to New York to, quote, see what one looked like and how they were supposed to dress at work. B, the country's finance minister is a veterinarian. Or C, when news got out that one banker had become that country's first billionaire, people came to his house asking to see the big pile of money.
Yeah, I'm going to say B.
You're going to say B.
I'm going to go with the veterinarian.
The veterinarian. You're right, sir. The country's finance minister is a veterinarian.
All right. Give a chance. Give our friend in East Lansing a chance.
At least he'd been to school. Lewis talked to one former investment banker whose prior job had been captaining a fishing boat. All right. This is great. You have one down, one to go. You get this one correct, you win our prize. Last question. Reykjavik is now a pretty strange place post-bubble. Michael Lewis says one of the signs that things there aren't what they used to be is what? A, the regular sound of exploding Range Rovers on the city's streets. B, homeless people wearing $4,000 Armani jackets that have been given away for the tax deduction. Or C, the former $700 a night luxury hotel is now the youth hostel.
I'm going to go with B. I love the Armani jacket idea.
Homeless guys walking around with Armani jackets?
Yeah.
It's a pretty image. It's pretty to think so. But the answer is A, the exploding Range Rovers.
Nice.
You see, the thing is, people bought all these Range Rovers, they like Range Rovers, with foreign currency. And now, since their own currency has collapsed, they can't pay off the loans, so they tend to mysteriously blow up. Boom, boom, boom. Carl, how did Chuck do in our quiz?
Well, Chuck needed two answers to win for Julie Ann O'Day, but Chuck had just one.
Well, thanks for rubbing it in.
Yeah.
I got to hear I was like all excited about the baritone voice of Carl Castle announcing my score, and that's what he announces.
Wow.
That's the way it goes, Chuck.
No.
Could you lie to him just to make him feel better?
Tell me what it would have sounded like if I would have won.
Yeah, what would it sound like if Chuck Dodd had won?
Well, Chuck had one correct answer, Peter, and that's good enough to win for Julie Ann O'Day. Congratulations.
You can't even pretend I got two right?
Carl's a journalist. He has standards.
Well, you're not working for NBC.
Carl is the NBC News Chief White House...
Carl.
I'm sorry, what did I say? No, Carl, it is Green. Sorry about that.
Apparently he is now.
Yeah.
That's what I was playing for,
Who knew? Sorry. Chuck Todd is the NBC News Chief White House Correspondent and the NBC News Political Director. He's also the author of the new book, How Barack Obama Won. Chuck Todd, thank you so much
thank
for
you
joining us. Great to have you.
Thank